listener production.
Like finding that op shop bargain.
Ka-ching.
These boys come pre-worn and maybe need a wash.
Oh my word.
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Oh yes, that's right. It is a Thursday. Matt and Alex are with you and we've got a very special guest joining us for today's episode. They are one of Australia's comedy like fastest rising stars, I would say, if not had already risen to the top. But does not hail from Australia.
Yes, so this, very this important is, distinction.
We're going to keep you a little bit secret just for a second, okay? But you may have figured out a little something from that voice, Alex Dyson.
Yeah, from South Africa.
Oh, it's me.
No, we'll reveal all very, very shortly. Oh, why don't we reveal it now? It is Melanie Bracewell. Hello, Melanie.
Know that it was a secret.
Yeah, what we like to start off with all our guests, Mel, is to gaslight them and yes. Like just put on this roller coaster okay. And then just say we're going to hide it and then actually reveal it and that sort of thing.
Right, so. It probably wouldn't have worked because I've got a very distinctive breathing style. So even just breathing into the microphone, people go, oh, that's Mel.
Are you a snorer?
Not that I'm aware of. I hope not. I feel like maybe if I'm sick, and if I do snore, then my boyfriend's really nice and has never told me.
Yep, no sleep talking to be spoken about.
I'm a sleep talker. I used to, my sister used to torment me so much that I would have nightmares about my sister and I would wake up screaming, Sheree, no!
All right, a big hello to Sheree, who is listening today. Hopefully it's a very nice time hanging out with Mel Bracewell. Let's get into it. All day breakfast.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
That's right. It is Mel, Alex and Matt today on All Day Breakfast, which is very nice given we're in the thick of a Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Mel, which is your adopted home now, Melbourne.
It really is. And I even, when people say we can claim you as an Australian, I don't mind that unless there's any New Zealanders listening, in which case, I hate it. I would never, ever be called an Australian. I really do switch it up a bit.
Most of the fodder for international comics, etc., anyone travelling, you notice the little things when you go to a new place. You've been coming to Australia for a long time. What about Melbourne in particular? Are you like, this is quirky?
Melbourne in particular, I mean, Melbourne people are just really nice. And even especially like comedy audiences, they're just like the nicest audiences.
Oh, they're so pleasant.
I know.
I'll tell you what, they'll let you get away with a long story with no punchline. Melbourne audiences.
Actually, I'm terrified that they're going to make me a worse comic because in New Zealand, you do a comedy show and I think that's why a lot of Kiwis come over here and people think, whoa, you're so fully formed. It's because we've had to go through the trenches of performing in front of New Zealanders who sit there just, all right, you think you're funny, do you? Okay, all right, tell us some of your little jokes, give it a go. What are your little skits?
Like an RPG, like video game where you've got so much experience by, slaying so many dragons. Yes. Over here in Melbourne, you're still on level one, sort of like fishing for carp or something.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, we got time. It's nice place. Mm. Nice to be indoors where it's warm, watching a show. It's good.
Nice to feel appreciated.
Well, very glad we've got an international comedian in the studio here, Mel, because I've got a question to ask you. Now, the other week, just very casually and just because it's a thing that happens, needed a place name to make a joke about in Australia. And out of my mouth, the first thing that came to my head was the city of Adelaide. Now, people of Adelaide weren't very, happy about this, understandably, because Adelaide is great. And they're like, Adelaide's great. And I'm like, I know they're great. But there are places all around the world when comedians go around that for whatever reason, they get substituted in just a place name. Like if you were going smaller from Australia and into Melbourne, people would make fun of Frankston, right?
Yes.
They'd just, it for any particular one.
And I think I know what question you're leading to, and the answer is Hamilton.
Hamilton, New Zealand.
Hamilton, New Zealand.
Is the place name, which is wonderful, a wonderful place.
It's really nice.
But for whatever reason gets
popped in that situation. For a long time, it was the chlamydia capital of New Zealand.
Officially?
I think so. And then that changed to Gisborne, because that's where they do Rhythm and Vines, which is a New Year's festival. And I think all of that just sort of spread around and they just, now they've got the chlamydia capital title. So maybe it's
they took
now.
The clap crown.
They did. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I've never had chlamydia.
No.
I mean, I'll just say that.
Well, you've never
just
been to Hamilton, am I right?
Yeah. It's crazy. You have that on your T-shirt. That's like.
Well, I just think for something that is like so everywhere around, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those ones that people don't do people not share it that much that they've got it? I feel like I've heard,
I feel like me and Alex both have to like now declare that we also haven't had chlamydia. Otherwise, if we don't say it,
well, I don't know.
People
I
mean, go, wow, they were oddly silent during the chlamydia part.
Also, not had chlamydia, but why did you bring that up, mate? Why did you suddenly throw that out there?
Oh, just because to have the capital of it, like for it to just be going around so rampantly and stuff like that. It's like it's one of those ones that I've heard. And I have had other things,
it's like that friend of yours. It's like I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I've never been to South America,
and you're special.
Yeah, so I'm just intrigued as to like it's just one of the ones I guess people just deal with silently. They don't seem to go like I've never had a friend go, oh, I had this last week.
Okay.
Like, but I've had friends say lots of other things about stuff they've gotten.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on from that. Although I did see recently that, here we go, 4 days ago, headline, China has a big problem with super gonorrhea, study finds.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I think we're starting to evolve when it comes to our sexually transmitted illnesses, super gonorrhea.
This isn't where I expected this conversation to go.
We're so sorry.
I mean, I brought it up.
Yes, you gave this to us.
Well,
okay, let's just say that.
Okay,
patient zero in this conversation.
Be clear that Mel Bracewell gave us chlamydia as a conversation topic.
Yes, exactly. Right. Now what
and
would you
to
like?
To the editors of the podcast and the video, don't take my quote there out of context, all right? Please.
What would you like to talk about, Mel? What's been going on in your world?
I've been having some real struggles with my bins lately. So I missed recycling day, and as a drinker, you don't want to miss recycling day.
Oh my God, don't. Oh,
I know, but I realized that the street over, their recycling hadn't been taken yet. So I did that thing where I moved my bin over to the street over.
Excellent.
Then when I went back in the evening, someone had taken my bin.
Oh.
And the only bin left was one that was like almost completely destroyed. And so I thought I'd game the system, but now I've got this completely destroyed recycling bin. And I've written to the council to try and get another one, but it's got the wrong number on it. Also, the people that stole my bin, they have since plastered over it, like gone to Bunnings and gotten a number and like put their number on top of my number. I couldn't believe it.
That's so opportunistic.
Who
thinks like that? But I mean, okay,
I know their address,
one,
and I'm going to reveal it now.
I have never heard of anyone doing like I can understand you put the rubbish in someone else's bin, but I have never heard of someone taking their whole bin to a new street. That must have looked. You must have felt sus.
Just really like I had a body or something, just dragging it like down the road and around the corner through an alleyway, almost hit a cyclist.
So your street is ones that have numbers on the side of all of them, because I've been in places where no one has numbers on the side of their bin. Maybe the very rare person, very protective of their bin, has it.
Yes.
But you're saying this street, you've got the one and it's got the number of the, you know, guilty party
on
the
side. Guilty party, and it's, I don't even know how you could have done this to a bin. Like, it is so, like, it's almost like the back of it is almost like just a flap. Like, you can flap it off. Like, I don't know how they possibly destroyed the bin so badly.
Like,
and so when they saw mine, which the biggest problem was, I didn't look at the numbers of the street. I should have gone down to, like, a number that was completely different to mine all the way down the road. But it just so happened to sort of match the numbers of my street number, which again, I'm not revealing. I'm trying to like talk around this story without revealing, like doxing myself.
Yeah, damn.
But I'm stuck with this awful bin. Do I go back? Do I take their bin back? It's mine. Can I peel that sticker off next time they've got their bin out and switch them back? Or is that psycho?
How do you know that they've put a sticker over your bin?
Because their number was not matching. And so we saw it the day of, just parked like in their front yard. And I go, that's our bin. That's got our number on it. That's not their number. They've taken our bin and there's this really shit one here.
No, I'm sorry, but you can't go back. You can't. What you've got to do is wait for your moment and your time on your street. Okay? You can't. You can't kick this off.
Wow.
So you're saying Mel can't cross the street again, has to wait for an unsuspecting person to bring a bin over to your side.
If at all. I mean, you've just got to wear it. I'm sorry.
I know. Weirdly, I'm passing this problem on, much like an STI. To the next unsuspecting victim.
No. This is the bin equivalent of the opposite of that, in which the other person's bin had a disease, which you cured by bringing over your pure bin. And now
they've given it to you. the unwell bin, and now you've got to do the right thing and just live with it, you know?
Maybe you should go
to a bin doctor and just get it fixed yourself, and then you don't have to worry.
Well, I have emailed the local council so many times. They go, they'll just give you a fresh shiny bin. And I think maybe they've got something.
They should do that.
I think they've looked at my profile and seen how many parking tickets I have yet to pay.
Oh.
And gone, she's not getting a new bin.
That could be it. Okay, yeah, they're not responding that much. It could be because of the parking tickets. Yeah.
The only other option would be to just quit drinking. You know, and then you never have to throw any bottles away.
Just go straight to the landfill.
Yeah. No cans, no anything, no tins of tuna. You just have to stop the way you live and, you know, this won't be a problem. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This meant a lot.
All right. Mel Bracewell's going to stick around. This is All Day Breakfast. And now it is time for
Mind Blown.
That's right, where we give you a mind-blowing fact, Matt O'Kine, out of the hot seat. Melanie Bracewell taking his fact bin from his street and presenting it as her own. Mel, what has been blowing your mind recently?
Dolphins have a language, and we know that because their different kinds of clicks follow the same graph as our frequently used words, for example. So every single language follows a graph. So your most commonly used words, say the, in, if, whatever, will go down to the least common words.
Yep.
Dolphins' clicks also follow that curve. So
there's a couple, there's four or five most common clicks, which are connective clicks to larger adjectives and verbs.
So they think they're literally speaking a language, not like other animals, which have, you know, meow and woof.
Goodness me.
That is pretty amazing. As someone who did play a dolphin trainer on H2O Just Add Water for 5 episodes, I can confirm that I have spoken to dolphins, by the way, using my hands, not my voice. I didn't get to learn the actual dolphin language, but, I mean, they're pretty smart. They know what's going on. And I believe that.
Every single language follows it as well. So every language has that same. I know I'm doing a visual curve in my head, but just think of a parabola.
Yeah.
Every single language, even when in every single book. So if you open a book, if you wrote down all of the words, then all of the words would follow that same curve. And so, or even just a page of a book, it will follow the same exact curve. I find it crazy.
That is pretty amazing, Mel. And actually, this is the first time you sort of co-hosted our show. There is a way to find out a little bit more about this.
Yes.
I'm going to need it's pretty amazing that you have got an interview with a dolphin.
No, we do not have that.
So if you say, I know I've got an interview with a dolphin now.
That is crazy that you mention that, because I have an interview with a dolphin.
Oh,
like right now.
Hello, are they on the line now? Have we got a dolphin there?
Hello, Flipper.
What's up, guys?
Wow.
It's your boy, Flipper.
Wow. So what have you been up to today, Flipper?
Pow! That's one of my most used words.
It's interesting because is that a pronoun or?
Kapow. That's what you say when you nibble on a little bit of jellyfish. Kapow.
Wow.
Wait, what about this? Yeah, I'll tell you one of my most used words. Oh, that's right. I'm a golfin dolphin.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? I'm a golfin dolphin. Oh, flipping that ball into that hole.
There you go, the blowhole. We also love getting listeners' mind blowns here, Mel. Would you like to hear one of those?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, today's listener mind blown comes.
You know the funny thing about the golf and dolphin's back? It's got a hole in one.
Yeah, that would have been really good if that was like with the golf.
Okay,
not half an hour
up.
Later. They did cut out a really long pause there, by the way, for the listeners at home.
I'm just warming up.
It's been 45 minutes. He says, wait, I got something. Wait, just hold up.
Matt and Alex's longest episode of all time had that not been adjusted for. But let's have today's mind blown from Keith.
Hey, Matt and Alex. This is Keith from Perth. I've got a mind-blowing fact for you guys. Did you know scientists have found 1,500 new bacteria species that live inside our own belly buttons? The team from North Carolina State University said they found a rainforest of microscopic life in there. Ugh. So anyway, how was that body shot at the live show, Matt?
Oh, that's right. I did.
Mel,
you weren't there, but for our live show, I did do a, we invented the fairy shot, which is like a fairy bread shot. Hundreds and thousands around the rim, bit of a, you know, chocolatey sweet goodness. Did the body shot out of Alex's belly button. Really slurped it.
Interesting how he phrased it, though. Is it bacteria out of like every single belly button that they've studied? They've in total found 15,000 bacteria, or is it just one really grubby guy?
In every one.
Has every single
that's
one in
true.
It.
That's true.
Well, that's pretty impressive because, like, the bad thing about the belly button shot Matt did for me is we didn't have enough time to put sprinkles around the rim. But it's good that that was there because it had hundreds and thousands of bacteria in there, Matt, which to replicate.
I mean, I gotta say, it was crunchy, and I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, if you ever pop by the club during Comedy Festival, Mel, I'll happily get you a belly button fairy floss shot. But other than that,
wow.
Other than that,
I don't think I'm ever going to be there. Don't worry.
That's how you get this. This is how Daiso gets. Like, that's how you get a gig at Daiso's Comedy Club. You got to do the body shot. That's how I had to get on stage.
That's the only way I got on stage, as you did that to start with. But if you'd like to stay in a safer environment, head down to Max Watts, where Melanie Bracewell is doing her comedy festival show, Attacking of the Melanie Bracewell, which is going all through the festival. Then you're travelling around a bit.
Yeah, then I'll be doing Sydney and Perth and Brisbane.
Mm.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a show, which is great.
Oh, amazing stuff. We're so grateful for you to have joined us for the app, Mel. Thank you so much. Good luck with the rest of the fest, and we'll catch you on TV.
Thanks.
Well, Matt, you weren't the only one hanging about Sydney buses this week.
Oh, okay. What? Were you catching a few bit of the public transport?
No, I'm better than that. but I was. Oh, look, city buses are all right.
Don't joke. Yeah, use it or lose it. That's my mantra. So if you see me catching buses, I'm doing it all day, every day. I love it. I respect it. And I want to keep Australia as green as possible.
Exactly right. But I was walking past a bus stop.
I mean, that's even more green. Jeez.
That's some green stuff.
You're like Captain Planet, mate.
That was it. Go past a bus. And I tell you what, it's a lot, like you feel a lot better walking past ticket inspectors when you're not on the actual transport, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're hardcore ticket inspectors, aren't they?
Well, these guys were, because I was walking past the bus stop and they were just standing out the front in their little teal T-shirts, shirts tucked in, collars popped, having a little chat while they waited for more victims to just be dropped off in front of them. It's like the bloody eel traps. You set them up and they're just there ready for them to swim in. The little fish traps.
No, you know what? Good.
Well, you should. That's why you're saying you've got to pay your way. Use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it. I pay every single time, and that is because if I don't pay for it, they're going to cut off the routes, the systems, etc.
Have a bus.
Exactly.
Anyway, I happen to be walking past simultaneously as a big old bus pulled up and ejected the the hapless souls.
Oh, no. The prawns ready to be caught by the net.
The krill ready to be in that public transport whale baleen of ticket inspectors. Anyway, this girl gets off the bus, middle door, okay? And the two inspectors there, they were standing back sort of against the wall, letting pedestrians like myself walk through. She gets off and they go, "Excuse me, ma'am, can we check your ticket?" she, I think she had some of those big headphones on. So she just keeps walking. It's like, ma'am, excuse me, can you? She just kept walking. And like they had their hand up and were like, sorry, could you stop? We need to. You just snubbed them. You just walked off and they just went, oh, all right.
So they didn't like, they didn't do the walk up and pull the earphone to the side and like, excuse me, ma'am.
No wander up, wave in the face, no tap on the shoulder. They just went, oh. It was like she just discovered their one weakness, which is you just pretend like they don't exist and they can't legally fine you. If you can't see them or hear them, they can't legally fine you.
So, I mean, were there, how many of them were there chasing? Like just one or two of them sort of going,
off? Like, but she just wandered off and I just watched them both look at each other and go, and like shrug to each other. I thought it was amazing. And like, she didn't even pretend like she did it so well.
Do you reckon she saw them? Do you reckon she actually saw them?
It would have been hard not to see them. Would have been very hard not to see them. She walked right past them. But yeah, I don't know if she was in the music.
That's genius.
She was like really like that lo-fi beats headphones girl on YouTube that you just... as they're studying and has music for 10 hours, was just totally engrossed in the tunes.
Wow.
And away you go. So she may have had a valid ticket, she may not have. But I'll tell you what, if she didn't, that was an incredible way to get out of a fine.
I wonder if the bigger the headphones, the more likely you are to avoid fines.
That should be it.
Do you know what I mean? Like if you just rolled out of the bus encapsulated by a huge pair of headphones and literally just rolled down the street like some sort of mouse wheel, they probably wouldn't stop you, you know what I mean?
Or like just a big boom box carrying it on your shoulder, you walk away.
Exactly. Just blasting.
No way to go to fine. Anyway, I did ask you, how have you gotten out of a fine, given the snub worked very well on this situation? Danny saying, I shagged the police officer.
No.
Oh, Daddy, I find that's very difficult to believe. Although that's one of the better pickup lines, are you a parking ticket because you've got fine written all over you.
Do you reckon that they shagged the police officer after the fine was being given out? Or do you think they shagged the police officer first and then on the way out, you know, the police officer's like, hey, by the way, you're not supposed to have that here. And they're like, come on, man. Like, we just did it.
I don't know. Danny did not elaborate for a story, which does need elaboration. Maddie said, my boyfriend got out of a minor speeding fine because we had a power outage at home.
How does that work?
That's going to need some more explanation.
Well, maybe
well,
it was
Maddie.
Like, sorry, I've got some chicken defrosting. I've got to get home. This is no time to lose.
And then
come
they
on.
Go, follow me. Sirens wailing in front. Police escort back to the defrosting chicken. And Miguel said, I directly gave the officer a sum of money less than the fine in question. So pretty much bribery.
I wonder if that was in Australia or whether it was somewhere else.
In other countries where it's more prevalent. I don't
just
know.
Just the old, well, what does Benjamin Franklin have to say about this? What does Banjo Patterson have to say about this?
I wonder whether Edith Cowan might be able to help me out of this one. Unbelievable. All right. Well, thank you very much for your texts. And thank you very much for listening to the show today. A big, big cheers to Mel Bracewell for coming in and helping us out with a big all-day breakfast.
Oh, so good to be joined by Mel. And please check out Mel's show. Please check out as many shows as you can at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Comedians love to see your face in their crowd. So help support live comedy any way you can. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow with another very, very fun show. But until then, keep in touch with us at matt.n.alex on Instagram.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex.